The North Atlantic Ocean Conveyor Belt, better known as the Gulf Stream, carries heat from the tropics along the U.S. East Coast and then over to northern Europe. In the summer, it also carries game fish like tuna and bonito as far north as New England. These big fish scoot back south as winter comes on, but tiny tropical fish larvae, babies that were also caught up in the Gulf Stream, lack the fins and strength to make it back to warmer waters, and they typically perish. Unless, and it's a big unless, they wash in close to shore and are rescued by volunteers and scientists. Living on Earth's Noble Ingram has our story.
It's a warm September Saturday, and a crowd has gathered on a rocky cove at Fort Wetherill Park in Jamestown, Rhode Island. The beach is peppered with plastic tubs and clipboards. A team of scientists and volunteers is pulling a massive net called a seine net full of flopping silver fish through the shallows. But these are not the fish they're looking for. Along the shoreline, four divers waddle slowly into the water. Each carries a Tupperware container and what looks like a small butterfly net. The water is clear and the sun is shining, but this is no ordinary fishing trip. This is a rescue mission.
These fish are gonna die because of the water turning cooler as the fall and winter comes. So, hey, might as well take the opportunity to rescue them.
That's Leonore Damaris. She's a longtime scuba diving enthusiast and a member of the New England Aquarium Dive Club, a volunteer organization that often partners with the aquarium. As she explains, the group has come to Rhode Island in search of an unusual kind of fish that desperately needs saving.
It is a hunt because you're hunting for them. You're just not killing them when you find them deliberately, right? You're rescuing them from a certain death to a possible survival.
These threatened sea creatures aren't native, but they're not invasive either. They've been spotted all throughout New England, and just over 100 miles away, on Nantucket Island, the Mariah Mitchell Aquarium has a small collection of them. On a July afternoon, a staff intern named Jack leads a tour into a room of bubbling fish tanks. Most of the animals here are locals, including the aquarium's beloved Atlantic lobster, Clementine. But two tanks hold flashier foreigners.
Our first tropical stray that we have here is our buffalo trunkfish. It was collected 2 years ago in Mattigat Harbor. And what we suspect is these fish, they spawned somewhere in the Caribbean or, you know, somewhere subtropical, like off the Carolinas. And as juveniles, when they were really weak, they got caught in the Gulf Stream, which is a big current that makes its way up the U.S. Eastern Seaboard. And there's a little spigot of it that comes out towards Massachusetts here.
As Jack explains, this tropical fish was found here in New England after riding ocean currents for hundreds of miles. Now 3 years old, this blue blob is about the size of an apple, with a face that's strangely reminiscent of an Easter Island stonehead. It's known as a Gulf Stream orphan.
As a little baby, you know, this buffalo trunkfish was the size of a blueberry when we caught it.
As Jack points out, the fish has grown fast, and now it's attracting some serious attention from visitors.
He's got a lot of personality.
Yeah.
Hi. Oh, you're very handsome. Hi. I think you're my friend. I wouldn't mind finding one of you.
He kind of looks like a truck of some kind, or like a weird UFO.
He loves eating live shrimp.
So do I.
The buffalo trunkfish is not the only tropical species to be carried into New England. Others include bright yellow spotfin butterfly fish and Atlantic blue tangs, relatives of the Pacific fish featured in the Finding Nemo and Finding Dory films. After the tour, Jack steps outside onto the beach.
What's the best thing you've caught?
Personally, ever, a flying gannard was a really rare tropical that we caught 5 years ago. It's this beautiful fish with bright iridescent blue wings, usually only found in the Caribbean. We had it at the aquarium for 4 years, and it got so big we donated it to the New England Aquarium, I believe.
As an adult, the flying gannard looks like a glowing purple frisbee, and biologists at the New England Aquarium were thrilled to receive it. One in particular, Mike O'Neill, manages the giant ocean tank there and is completing a PhD studying Gulf Stream orphans.
So we met the Mariah Mitchell Association at the Hyannis Ferry and received this flying gannard from their facility. And they had him set up in a nice temperature-controlled cooler, very well packed.
Raising a captured tropical orphan is no simple task. 5 years in, that flying gannard died from a bad eye infection. But plenty of other orphans at the aquarium have survived and thrived. And for Mike, gazing into the New England Aquarium's vast Caribbean collection, saving these fish from a deadly fate drives his studies.
We went down for one of the field collecting trips, and I could not believe that the fish that we were going to be bringing back we would find normally in the Caribbean. And one of the first fish that we found was the permit. When we found it, a very small, plain silverfish.
Mike nods at the tank and points to a glistening fish the size of a bicycle.
But it's actually one of the two largest fish in our giant ocean tank right here. They get to be maybe 100 pounds or so and a couple feet long. It was like an out-of-body experience at first, being like, we could raise this up and bring it back to the aquarium and it could live in the giant ocean tank for a decade or more and be this massive animal.
As Mike explains, even the mighty permit was found as a tiny gray speckle. That might be the biggest challenge to finding orphans. Unlike the colorful adults we recognize, juvenile tropical fish look mostly like seafloor pebbles.
That brown blob is a trunkfish. So you can see his little mouth and his two eyes there. So when we collect them, they're teeny tiny. Then they get about football size when they're full grown.
That looks like a rock.
Yep. Yeah, so that's one of the ones that when you come across, it's usually like just sheer luck that you happen to be standing in the right spot. And then as you're looking through it, instead of looking at pebbles, you're like, oh, wait, this one actually has fins and is alive.
That luck is critical, and not just for the rescuers. As Leonor mentioned earlier, Gulf Stream orphans can tolerate New England's warm summers, but when water temperatures plummet in the fall, fish that can't stand the cold die. And that brings us back to Jamestown in September. Mike O'Neill is here, along with his colleague, Mike White. The pressure is on to find these orphans, White says.
They're going to die. It's inevitable. They will die probably within the next month, so if we can get it and bring it back and use it in our exhibits, it sends a big message out, so it's very important.
But so far, this year's haul isn't looking promising. 3 hours in, a few divers have made sightings, but every net is still empty.
One of the divers who's with the aquarium saw spot fin, but didn't have any luck in catching him.
Nothing in the nets yet, but we're going to try the seining and see what we come up with there.
Each time the seine net comes in, Mike and the dive club find a new tangle of fish, but they're all locals.
Okay, got it.
We don't have anything tropical in this guy. Let's see.
Then, amid the controlled chaos of another haul, a pair of divers head over to Mike with a gallon-sized plastic tub. Mike points to a brown spot swimming in their catch.
That little dark guy with the red eye is a permit.
Permit.
Oh my God, little baby permit.
You kidding me? Yeah. Like that dark, huh?
Yep. That stress coloration. He's figuring out why everyone's looking at him.
Potentially a successfully caught Gulfstream orphan?
Yep, that permit is definitely on the Gulfstream orphan list. Definitely at that size. That guy's maybe half an inch long, something like that. They'll grow up to be very, very large.
Mike hands the tub and its future 50-pound fish back to the divers. The proud rescuer poses for a photo with the permit. For now, the dive club will have to be content with their single rescued orphan.
Fish-wise, a little bit left to be desired. We did get a few reports of tropical fish, and we have one permit in hand. So from a New England aquarium perspective, not ideal for the collection animals, but for the Gulf Stream Orphan Project, definitely excellent data. Weather turned out great. Dive conditions were perfect, so can't ask for much more.
They overall still definitely worth it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Particularly to see future marine biologists in training out here and getting wet and learning about their native environment. It's the way to go.
Every fall, the New England Aquarium Dive Club's event gives citizen scientists of all ages the chance to save just a few tropical fish caught in the region's cooling waters. Thanks to this year's outing, more people are now enlisted orphan rescuers, and one tiny permit here gets to make it past October. For that, at least, it seems safe to call it mission accomplished. For Living on Earth, I'm Noble Ingram in Jamestown, Rhode Island.